Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. One of the best things you can do to improve your health is get at least 7 hours of quality sleep every single night. I know, it's hard to get that much sleep. Your mind keeps you awake, you're thinking about things, you get uncomfortable, you wake up early, and you just can't fall asleep again. There are hundreds of reasons why you can't get 7 hours of quality sleep every single night, and I've probably at least told you 100. But hey, listen, it's super important because your body heals itself when you sleep. And if you're not getting enough quality sleep, you're increasing your risk of disease and making it harder to lose weight. Yes. Wait, would you like to know an easy way to get more quality sleep every night? Make sure you're getting enough magnesium. Believe it or not, around 75% of people don't have enough of it, which helps explain why so many people have sleep problems. Unfortunately, most magnesium supplements are not full spectrum, so they won't fix your magnesium deficiency or help you sleep better. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, sleep-enhancing effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed, and you will be amazed by how much better you sleep and how much more rested you feel when you wake up. For an exclusive offer for my listeners of the Health Fix Podcast, you guys want to go over to www.magbreakthrough.com/healthfix. And you can save up to 42%. Yes, that's right. 42% savings on Magnesium Breakthrough when you go to www.magbreakthrough.com/healthfix. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. Raj Anand. He has over 60 years of experience in the cardiovascular field. He's a retired cardiologist, so that means he's 86 years old. The wealth of information that this fella has is impressive, and he's kind of a no BS kind of guy to the basics, and I think this is important. I think we've gotten a little far into fancy treatments, things of that nature over time, so I love that he is back to basics, but he's got his twists. He's telling you what he's seen. It took him 3 years to do all of the research for his book, meaning testing the diet out to make sure that it works, testing out all of his recommendations, and in particular, we're talking diet, we're talking exercise, we're talking mindfulness, even socialization, which is fun, sleep, and checkups. So this is a good podcast if you are kind of struggling and going, what do I really need to do to get my cholesterol down? What can I try? What does a cardiologist with over 60 plus years of experience have to say about the basics? So without any further ado, let's introduce you to Dr. Raj Anand. Hello, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of the Health Fix. I've got Dr. Raj Anand on, and we are going to be talking about your cardiovascular health, but in particular, diet and mindfulness, and using those tools to help prevent coronary heart disease. And now Dr. Raj, as I mentioned before, has a ton of experience with over 60 years in the field. So you guys got to listen up here. He's got some good stuff for you. So Dr. Raj, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. I deeply appreciate it.
It is my pleasure, because I have not had the opportunity to have a cardiologist on board, and I haven't had the chance to pick someone's mind with as much knowledge that you have. So this is going to be a fun one. We have a lot of folks who are very interested in their heart health, and I've got a lot of questions for you from some of my folks. You ready to dive in?
I'm definitely ready and looking forward to it.
Okay. So one of the big things that I see in practice and a lot of folks will ask me about is, why does my blood pressure start to go up as I get older? And does mindfulness really work to help reduce my blood pressure?
Okay. To part one of your question, why does it go up? What happens is that the arteries start to harden. They become stiffer in old age. And what happens is normally when the heart pumps blood into the arteries dilate to accommodate it. And therefore pressure stays at a certain level. As the arteries harden, now when the blood comes, the arteries don't dilate, so pressure goes up. Just like if you have a hard pipe, if you have a pipe and you pump water through it, there'll be pressure in the pump. And now if that pump becomes bigger, the pressure will fall. But if that pump becomes narrower, even though you are pumping the same amount of blood, the pressure will go up. So this way, when they become stiff, the amount of blood coming may be the same, but the artery does not expand to in diameter to accommodate it. So blood pressure goes up.
Gotcha. Okay. So with part one of my question, a lot of folks will ask me now, is there anything we can do to intervene to prevent this hardening of the arteries? Or is it just kind of what happens as we get older?
No, you can prevent it if you lead what's called a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And healthy lifestyle means five things. One is healthy diet, which I'm sure we'll discuss.
Oh, yes.
Secondly, regular exercise. And thirdly, mindfulness. And my book is the first one ever which shows the connection of mindfulness with a healthy lifestyle and prevention of several deadly diseases. The fourth one is socializing. And socializing not on the telephone through media, social media, but socializing in person. And the fifth one will be adequate sleep. And 6 to 8 hours sleep at night. And if I may add one more, and that is a yearly checkup.
Aha. Okay.
Yeah. Now, so these six things are necessary for healthy lifestyle, and it is mentioned in my book.
Awesome. And that book is The Healthy Diet and Mindfulness to Prevent Coronary Heart Disease, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll get to it in a minute, folks, where you can find it and everything. We want to talk more about the book and kind of pick Dr. Raj's mind here a little bit because he's got so much experience here. So with the connection to mindfulness, I would say that most cardiologists who I've talked with have kind of said, yes, there are some connections, but no one's really broken it down for me. So tell us how you came to discover that there were some connections and what you've discovered along the way.
Okay. First, let me start with the proof that mindfulness helps in the long run. And now there are scientific studies which have shown beyond any doubt that there are 9 diseases which eventually are deadly. And those diseases are high blood pressure, stroke, heart disease, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, cancer, then leaky gut syndrome, diabetes, and arthritis. These are 9 of these. The basic cause of all of them is slow grade chronic inflammation in the body, which goes on all the time so slowly we never even realize until it is too late. And mindfulness decreases and significantly slow down that process. And if you do a meditation regularly, your mind stays calm, and then the inflammation stays under control. And therefore the chances of these 9 diseases are significantly reduced hopefully someday we'll be able to eliminate them.
Wow. Wow. I find the one that you mentioned in their leaky gut is a deadly disease, which I don't think anyone's ever come out and actually said that. And I find this fascinating because, yes, it's one of the sources of inflammation. Tell us a little bit about the connection between leaky gut inflammation and what it does cardiovascularly.
Okay. Leaky gut, first of all, what it is, that in the intestines, there's inner lining called endothelium, and that becomes inflamed or swollen. And that inflammation prevents the absorption of nutrients and leads to all the symptoms of like fullness and cramps, diarrhea, alternating with constipation. And it is quite miserable. And it has been shown that there is a connection directly between the gut and the brain through a hormone called hormone of happiness, which is called serotonin. And 94% of that serotonin is manufactured in the gut and stored in the gut. Mm-hmm. And if you eat healthy, then the good bacteria in your gut grow more and more, and they manufacture a substance called butyrate. And butyrate cuts down inflammation by sending directly information through vagus nerve from gut to the brain.
Nice.
And that is how inflammation is relieved and the gut improves and symptoms are relieved.
Aha, aha. So of course this leads me into what type of healthy diet can help us to promote butyrate production within the gut. What are you recommending for folks in your book?
Okay, healthy diet means, number one, and I'll explain in detail, eat good carbohydrates, avoid bad carbohydrates, and I'll explain what they are. Eat good fats and avoid bad fats. And then eat a lot of antioxidants, which I'll explain, and probiotics and prebiotics. And good news, adequate amount, not too much, too much of everything is bad, of very dark chocolate.
Nice.
The chocolate, when I say very dark, that means it should be more than 70% cacao content in it. If it is less than 60, don't buy it. Start with 70-75% and slowly build it up. I eat half an ounce of it every evening after my meal as my dessert of 88%.
Wow.
Which may be a little bitter for others, so you can start at 70 and build up. Now let me explain each one. When I said eat good carbs, that means fruits, vegetables, beans, and whole grains.
Okay.
The bad carbs are sugar, which is the worst, and then cornmeal and corn starch, mm-hmm, and white flour. Now, rice is also considered to be a bad carb because it does not have fiber in it. Good carbs are those which have a lot of fiber in it, which have very little or none are bad carbs. But if you eat rice with beans, and we always do, and chew it well, then that rice gets mixed with beans, which have a lot of fiber, and therefore it becomes and acts like a good carb, because it is slowly absorbed in the gut and blood sugar doesn't go up. Whereas if you eat bad carbs, they are absorbed very quickly and blood sugar goes way up, which leads to a phenomenon called insulin resistance. And that leads to obesity and weight gain especially that weight gain is at the places where it's difficult to take off, like belly and hips and waist.
Yes.
So those are the good carbs and bad carbs. Then as far as the fats are concerned, the good fats are nuts, seeds, fish, avocado, and olives. I'm not saying olive oil, olives. So these are the five good fats, and the bad fats are saturated fats, trans fats, and oils.
Tell us about those oils, because I have been noticing quite a bit that oils seem to be one of the main sources of inflammation, even if they are things like olive oil or even the avocado oil and coconut oil I've seen related to some issues with folks. Tell us a little bit of what you've seen as a cardiologist and in general.
Okay. I am the first one who pointed out in my book that as far as you mentioned avocado oil, first of all, if one can avoid oils completely and cook in, say, tomato-based sauce, that would be the best. But if you cannot and you must use oil, then the least bad is probably this avocado oil. Mm-hmm. It may not be bad at all, but one thing is certain, that this is the least one. The other ones, canola oil and olive oil, these are omega-9 oils. And then omega-6 oils are sunflower oil, safflower oil, soybean oil, corn oil. So those oils are omega-6. And omega-6 oils, there is sesame oil in there too. We all need omega-6 and omega-3. Omega-3 is in the fish. Mm-hmm. And omega-6, we can take only 6 to 10 grams a day. And even if you avoid everything, it is present in everything. You go buy a bread, there is omega-6 in it. You have fried food, there's omega-6 in it.
Yeah.
So, and you eat beans, there's omega-6 in it. You eat whole grains, there's omega-6 in it. So 6 to 10, you don't have to worry. Don't count on it, you will get it. But if you eat more than 10, that leads to inflammation.
Aha.
And then that leads to these deadly diseases eventually. And that is why it is suggested avoid oils, possibly all. If not, then prefer avocado oil in the minimum amount that you use. Now, why not canola oil and olive oil? Mm-hmm. Canola oil, Canadians have been very clever. It comes from rapeseed, and they advertise it rich in omega-3. Now, what happens is omega-3 is very sensitive to pressure and temperature. And it is difficult to take oil out of a seed. Out of a fruit, you can take easily. So what they do is they put a chemical first in these seeds called hexane, H-E-X-A-N-E, which is a poison. And then they heat it up to over 600 degree temperature.
Wow.
And at that temperature, if there's any omega-3, it dies. Then they put very high pressure and compress it to take out the oil. So poison softens it, and then under pressure, it comes out. Now question is what to do with the poison. So they distill it, and during distillation, still they cannot get it out completely. Then they put bleach and bleach it, and then the foam comes at the top, and from underneath, They drained the oil. And when Canadians supplied that oil for the first time to the United States, our FDA rejected it. They said during the process, a chemical has been formed, which is called erucic acid, E-R-U-C-I-C. And that is very bad for the heart muscle. It weakens the heart. So until you take that out, we are not going to allow it. So some Canadian scientists got together and they managed to get rid of erucic acid, but not completely. And also some scientists claim that when you go and buy canola oil on the shelf, there is still traces of hexane poison in it. It's not free. So now, and question is, when you hear all this story, then you can decide for yourself, do you want canola oil? And unfortunately, the most used oil in the whole world is canola oil because of this advertisement that they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, that's true. And all the chips and the snack foods, you will see that. And then you see different expeller pressed oils.
Exactly. That is what I meant by when they put a lot of pressure on it. It didn't want to use the word expeller because some people may not understand it. And then comes olive oil.
Yes.
Now, olive oil, people eat in the Middle East and it is in the Mediterranean diet, and there are areas where people live long. This question was raised, is it healthy for you? And Dr. At Maryland University, I'm trying to remember his name. It will come in a minute. He did some experiments. And what he found was he gathered 22 medical students in their 20s and he gave them bread and olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And what he found was that within 1 hour, their arteries, he measured the diameter of the arteries with ultrasound, it constricted by almost 70%.
Wow.
And then it took almost 8 to 10 hours before it came back to normal size. Now, we don't wait for 10 hours to eat the meal. We eat every 4 hours, if not even more frequently.
Right.
So he said, oh, gee, how come? So he gave them bread, olive oil, and salad. He thought maybe there's something in the salad. But again, the same thing. So he, after that, said, oh, gee, they use a lot of balsamic vinegar, which has antioxidants in it. So he put balsamic vinegar also, and it did not happen.
Wow.
So he knew this is the secret, that in Mediterranean diet, this helps. So to cut the long story short, if you use olive oil in your salad and you add balsamic vinegar, then it's okay. But remember, oil has twice the calories, so don't go beyond moderate amounts. But if you cook in it, then its smoke point is 320 degrees Fahrenheit. Whereas we do cooking mostly at 350 to 400. Yeah. So that is above that. So that leads to formation of trans fats, which are the worst kind of fats and can lead to coronary disease.
Wow.
And that is why olive oil for cooking is not good, whereas the smoke point of avocado oil is 600 to 610. So that is pretty safe. And that is why I say if you have to use oil, use avocado oil.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, I think a lot of people might be listening and going, okay, so if I use olive oil and I don't cook it whatsoever and I mix it with vinegar, that's a good thing. But if I just take olive oil and say I'm going to, like you said, dip it in bread, that's going to cause inflammation. So if someone's thinking about this as a whole picture, it kind of ventures to say that, like you said, we should eat the olives and get rid of the olive oil altogether.
And I should add to that, you said vinegar, it must be balsamic vinegar.
Okay, balsamic.
Because that dark color is the powerful antioxidant.
Okay, so not, because a lot of people are going to think apple cider vinegar, things of that nature, only balsamic.
Only balsamic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You mentioned apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar has been claimed to reduce weight and do a lot of good things, but there is not even one study which has so far been able to prove that. Mm-hmm. Plus, it is acidic, apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
So those who want to use it, my suggestion would be don't use more than 1 tablespoon on your salad. If you drink it, make sure take a glass of water and have 1 tablespoon and dilute it, and don't use it more than twice a day. That is if you want, but there's no evidence that it reduces weight or helps any.
Okay. Okay. Now back to balsamic for a second, because a lot of people, when we look at balsamics, there's differences between good quality and not so good quality ones that have had sugar added to them. Can you give an explanation of what kind of balsamic someone should be looking for?
Well, it should be very dark. And I really don't know how a person going into supermarket can say, oh, this is good and this is not good. The one darkest they can find, that would be the one.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Now, of course, my folks, we talk a lot about lab tests and things of that nature. And of course, one of the things that I note over time, as we get older, we do tend to have higher levels of cholesterol, higher levels of LDLs. And really, a lot of people will turn towards eating what we think is healthy, but a lot of people will struggle to remove the oils from their diet. And what I guess I'm getting at is, have you done in your practice, when you were practicing, did you do any omega-3 and omega-6 lab testing to see where people were at in terms of ratios in that department?
Okay, I didn't have to do it because this has already been done by many other scientists.
Okay.
First of all, what is, the amount of omega-3, first of all, the ratio itself is 1 to 4, but no more than 5. In other words, omega-6 should be no more than 5 times the omega-3 in the product that you are eating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that raises the question, what amount of omega-3 is needed per day? And that has not been decided, but 1.5 to 2 grams is currently considered adequate.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure that the ratio is correct, among the nuts, walnuts are the best. They are under 5. Okay. So if you eat walnuts, you are getting both.
Very nice.
And they are present in other nuts too, but try to stay away from macadamia nuts and cashews because they are rich in saturated fats.
Okay. Okay. So the saturated fats that come from even things that are closest to nature, such as the macadamia and cashew, can be problematic over time.
Yes. Mostly it is unsaturated fats which are present in nuts, but those two I mentioned, they have quite a bit of saturated fat in them.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think a lot of people are going to be thinking, rethinking their fats now. And I've talked about it more recently since as I've gotten older, I've really noticed that it does seem to make a difference what's going on with the fats.
And in my book, I have mentioned, talking of walnuts, that if you eat 8 halves of the walnuts every morning, or a combination of 4 halves of walnuts and 35, 36 pistachios, you have the whole day supply of omega-6 and omega-3. You don't have to worry after that.
Wow, you're speaking my language there. I love both of those nuts. I could live off of both of those. So I like this already.
I do that every day too.
Nice.
And I exercise 1.5 hours every morning, 6 days a week. And I am going to be 87 in 6 weeks.
Wow. Wow. 87. Holy cow. You have so much experience. So tell us a little bit more about your exercise routines, because I think a lot of people, you know, we've been told for so many years, 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and it just keeps getting repeated and recycled. And I find that that might not be the way to go, especially what you're telling me now.
Okay. If you are doing strenuous exercise, because young people do that, then for half an hour a day, 5 days a week is fine. But those 5 days that you do should be such that no more than 2 days should lapse between two exercise days.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Now, if you are doing moderate exercise, like brisk walking, that is half an hour each day for 5 days a week. And I'm sorry, I misquoted. If you do strenuous exercise, then half an hour each day, 3 days a week.
Okay.
But those 3 days should not be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There should not be more than 2 days between the two consecutive exercise days.
Okay.
So strenuous exercise, half an hour a day, 3 days a week. If it is brisk walk, then half an hour a day, 5 days a week. And the latest studies show if instead of half an hour, you do brisk walk 40 minutes, then 3 days a week is fine too. As long as don't let more than 2 days lapse between the two consecutive exercise days.
Okay. Okay. So what is your favorite exercise? What do you like to do?
Okay. What I do is stretching, strengthening, and aerobics. Mm-hmm. And everybody should try to include all these. And I would strongly advise that in the beginning, at least a few times, have somebody instruct you in the proper way as to what are the good stretching and strengthening exercises and aerobics. Now, I do Mondays and Thursdays yoga.
Nice.
Which is quite strenuous, followed by interval bicycle training exercise. And on Tuesdays and Fridays, I do what I call as Western exercises, and there are 30 of them.
Oh, wow.
I spend in the morning, and that is also very good, but nobody has to do all the 30, and just have the instructor tell you a few and make sure to increase them gradually, not the very first week and you start doing that. So, and then at least once or twice, I add walking to it also. Besides bicycle or walking on the treadmill, if weather is good, then I go outside. Then Wednesdays and Saturdays, I do Tai Chi.
Nice.
And followed by, it is a part of yoga, mindful movements. And they are very good at stretching every part. And that is followed by my upper body weight lifting.
Okay.
So my lower body does a lot of work during the week anyways. So I spend those 2 days upper body building. So this is what I do on Sunday. I take it easy. It's a healing day. So whatever damage you do to your body, that heals, and Monday you are ready again. And usually I try to go at least for a walk on Monday, on Sunday. And those are the exercises I would advise everyone. Don't just do one type and keep doing that.
Keep it interesting. It sounds like you're never bored when you are working out.
Yes.
How long have you been doing this regimen for?
I have been doing it for quite a few years. Previously, me and my wife used to go and swim. Now, I used to take even 60 laps
wow.
at a given time. And then she died, and for a little while, I was very irregular, not feeling like doing anything. And that is when meditation turned my life around. And I'm very grateful for that. That is the answer to your question. I'm doing for quite some time.
Nice. Good. So tell us about the meditation and the mindfulness, since, you know, this is your unique part of being a cardiologist talking about this. Tell us how you discovered it a little bit. What is your practice? How do you do it? Give us the scoop.
Okay. It's very little. First, you sit down comfortably. And comfortably means that you should be not that comfortable that you fall asleep, but comfortable enough that you remain alert. And for that, it is necessary that your spine should be straight, but not stiff.
Okay.
If you cannot keep that way, that's okay. Then just sit comfortably whichever way you can. With feet flat on the ground, legs uncrossed, hands on your knees, thighs are by the side, wherever you feel comfortable. And then bend your chin slightly so you can look at the floor a few feet away. And then lips apart, and loosen your muscles of the jaw and the muscles of the face. Let the tension go. Mm. And then close your eyes. If you cannot close your eyes, then just gaze downwards to avoid distraction. So this is the proper way of sitting.
Okay.
And after that, you take 3 deep breaths. Take in through the nose and breathe out through the mouth as deep as you can. And that relaxes your muscles all over the body, as well as mental tension goes away. And now you are ready to meditate. And at that time, you first check your body sensations. If you are having pain anywhere, stiffness anywhere, feeling hot anywhere or cold, and become aware of these sensations so they don't distract you. And you will find sometimes sensations during meditation which you have never felt before, and they are normal, like numbness and tingling. And so feel for that. If they are anywhere, just note them. And then you check your mental sensations, which means your thoughts and your feelings. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you angry? Do you want to punch at something? And whatever it is, or what you are thinking, thoughts, whatever it is, just acknowledge it in 1 or 2 words. I am thinking, or I am angry, and then let go of it. And after that, again, take 1 slow, long, deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Now you have mental tension very, very low or gone, and you are ready to start meditation. And this normally should not take more than 2 minutes.
Wow.
And after that, when you start meditation, you focus on your breath. And to focus on the breath, if you notice the area below the belly button of the stomach, when you breathe in, it moves out and up. And when you breathe out, it falls back and in. Mm. And there are associated sensations with it inside the belly, sensation of filling during inhale and emptying during exhale. Get familiar with those sensations. Similarly, in the chest expands during inhale and you have sensation of filling. And when chest retracts during exhale, you have feeling of collapsing, emptying. And then when the air enters the nose, it feels cool. It goes to the back of the throat, down the windpipe, into the lungs. And when it goes out the nostrils, it feels warm. So these sensations from nostril all the way down to the belly, feel during inhale and feel during exhale. Maybe take even a couple of deep breaths if you have to get familiar with these sensations. And then just natural, normal, relaxed breathing. Don't try to make it any deeper or any shallower or any longer. Just observe it. Just feel those sensations with the breathing, but let the breathing be normal. And all you have to do from then on is sit comfortably and pay attention to these sensations for as long as you can. If you are new, you cannot sit for more than 5 minutes, that's okay. Even 2 minutes is fine. And slowly increase it. Some people say, gee, I cannot sit even 2 minutes. We say, all right. What you do is before you go to work or whenever you feel comfortable, sit at the edge of the bed and close your eyes and pay attention to the tip of the nose and feel the air going in and out through the nostrils. Just do that for 1 minute, if you can, 2 minutes. And then slowly, when you do each day, you increase the period and go on as long as you can. And once you can do 5, 6, 7 minutes, then you go on to the whole breathing that I have mentioned. Some people tell me, oh, even 2 minutes is too much for me. I say, okay, tell me how many times you go to wash your hands in the washroom.
Yeah.
They say, oh, several times a day. I said, good. When you go to wash hands, you first put the toilet seat down, sit on that, and look at the doorknob inside. Mm-hmm. And just focus your attention on the doorknob for 1 minute, and then get up, wash your hands, and go. So if you do that 3, 4, 5 times a day, soon you'll start you're on the edge of the bed for 4 or 5 minutes and move that way. So that is how I recommend.
Wow, what a great way. I didn't even think about that before, but hey, we all have to use the restroom and we all have to wash our hands. So perfect way to integrate it in. I like it. There's no more excuses, folks, when you're listening to this. No more excuses for not meditating. Now, tell us a little bit more about socializing, because I think what you said earlier, getting off the social media, getting off the computer, actually talking with people is so important. Tell us how you like to socialize and what you recommend for folks.
Okay. Everybody, I think, has heard of Dalai Lama. The leader in this field, he has a book. If they go and say books by Dalai Lama, they will find it.
Okay.
There is another one, Joy of Living. And anyway, this Dalai Lama's book, once I read it twice, and it said, stay close to those who make you feel happy. Others keep distance. This is a very simple test.
Yeah.
And I follow that. And if there are people you don't feel happy with, keep good relations, but keep the distance. Those who make you feel happy, stay with them and socialize with them.
I think that's very wise advice. I think too many of us will keep hanging around folks that I would call energy vampires. They suck us dry of feeling good. They just want to complain or whatever it may be. I think it's very important to socialize with happy folks. So that is an excellent, excellent recommendation. Now, you mentioned a yearly checkup. And so a lot of people at this point might be like a cardiovascular kind of checkup or a physical exam. What kind of checkup do you mean?
Physical exam checks everything, including the heart, and they do yearly blood tests, which cover the cholesterol test also. So that is what I meant, a general physical checkup with your primary care physician, if you will. When you go there, they will check your cholesterol, which is total cholesterol, good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, and triglycerides. Now you tell your doctor, if you don't tell, they won't do it. And it is in my book that I want high sensitivity CRP test, C-reactive protein. It's not simple CRP, it is high sensitivity CRP test. And if the report of that is less than one, you don't have to worry about anything. The chances of coronary disease are extremely rare. And 1 to 2 is average, 2 to 3 is high, above 3 is very high. So it is such a tight range. Have that done. And if you tell, they will do it.
Yes. Yes. That's a big one. I like that one.
And the aim should be eventually the cholesterol should come down to 150. They accept it less than 200, but the aim should be to bring it down as much as possible and close to 150.
Okay. And that's for total cholesterol?
For the total cholesterol.
And what do you think about the LDL, otherwise known as the bad cholesterol?
The bad cholesterol should be below 80 and preferably 70 or below. But if you are below 80, that is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And then if you eat healthy diet, then I think you should be fine. And let me add, which I didn't get a chance before to finish, that was before by eating healthy diet, which includes fats and carbs, as I mentioned, and probiotics, which is yogurt, 1 cup of yogurt every day. And the best is Greek yogurt, and preferably low-fat Greek yogurt or non-fat fruit Greek yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a probiotic. And as far as prebiotic is concerned, any fermented vegetable like sauerkraut, miso, kimchi, and onions are very rich prebiotics. Fruits, banana is very rich. All vegetables and fruits are rich in prebiotics. And then antioxidants. Antioxidants is the thing to remember if you forget everything, because due to pollution and all these chemicals that are added in foods, we do need antioxidants because of products during normal digestion metabolism. From those foods, we form free radicals, which cause inflammation in the body. And antioxidants, they neutralize that. So that is the key. And antioxidants are present in fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, nuts, seeds, spices like cinnamon, ginger, garlic, and there is one from Greece and Middle East called sumac.
Yeah.
And then these antioxidants, Americans get most of it in the morning from their coffee. You can get it from tea. What kind of tea you like, that's fine, but green is the best if you like it. And then if you take wine, normally any alcohol is toxic, especially for women. But if you do have wine, have red wine, not white wine. And lastly, chocolates, but with cocoa content as high as possible, certainly no less than 60, and start at 70, 75 and work your way up. So I think that is important to remember. Pardon me for interruption.
No, that's great. That's great. I want to make sure that you get in all of the details, because I'm sure folks are curious as to what your opinion is. I mean, the chocolate for so many people, that is a factor. But yes, the dark is better. And a half an ounce. So that's going to have to limit some folks a little bit there on the half ounce recommendation.
They can have up to 1 ounce, but too much of anything is bad.
Yeah. I've had a lot of docs tell me too much of chocolate can back the liver up and cause some trouble.
Because the chocolate that many people eat have a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah.
So that's bad.
Yeah, there are so many things, unfortunately, about the processed foods and things of that nature that have become, let's say, misconstrued into healthy food that necessarily isn't exactly healthy. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Now, a lot of people might be thinking about supplements and if you recommend anything to supplement your diet to help with your heart health or your cardiac.
To answer your question straight, the only two supplements I recommend, one is one multivitamin with minerals a day for vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are deficient in vitamin D, then you should take vitamin D supplement also. Mm-hmm. So these are two I highly recommend. Others, I really do not, because if you say by probiotics, there are too many. You don't need that many. And too much of anything is bad. The old saying by grandmas, eat everything in moderation. So that is why I do not recommend other supplements. One, I am trying, and so far it has worked. And my daughter, who has leaky gut syndrome, is trying and it has worked. I would pass it on because that's not in my book yet. I was waiting till I am convinced. Even the diet I have mentioned in my book, I tried for 3 years on myself and followed blood tests before I decided to write the book. And it was my wife's suggestion and her wish. So, the one that I am trying is called Italian bergamot. And bergamot, it is a crossbreed between lemon and bitter orange. And it comes from a southern part of Italy called Calabria. It is available at Amazon in 500 milligram capsule. And one a day is enough. Take it empty stomach. I take it in the morning with some water. And that brings down cholesterol further.
Aha.
Yeah, and bad cholesterol especially.
Okay.
And the triglycerides, which are bad, come down way down.
Interesting.
And it works through different mechanisms in the liver. I don't think there's need to go into detail, but those who can remember Italian bergamot, B-E-R-G-A-M-O-T. So I recommend that supplement.
Okay. So the latest, so what I'm getting at here is it looks like you're going to have another book coming out with your latest updates then at some point.
When I'm ready for that, because I want to make sure that others have confirmed it and all that to rule out my bias or anything like that.
Perfect. So guys, you can find Dr. Raj's book, The Healthy Diet and Mindfulness to Prevent Coronary Heart Disease on Amazon, but he can also get it at his website. And I'm going to let him explain to you his mission with his book and his website as well. So you've got the floor for this one.
Thank you. My website is called Raj K Anand, RAJKANAND.com. And on that, there is some description about me. I was a professor of cardiology for 41 years, and I have invented a thermoelectric angioplasty catheter. So all those are there. Then there is something about my wife, and my wife died of cancer of the liver. She passed very quickly within 13 days of diagnosis, and it was her wish that I write this book. So I wrote it, and all the monies go directly from Amazon to Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in the loving memory of my wife. Then when they go to my website, they will find my podcast, which I do once a month. They can listen to it. And then at the top right corner, there's a card. If they click on that or click on buy, B-U-Y, they connect it directly to Amazon, and they can order the book on Amazon. First, they can review, read the reviews, and then they can order it. The price is $13.99. I try to keep it as cheap as possible so everybody can afford it, and we can sell more and more books to get more money to Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And there is my email address, rajkeanand@icloud.com. They can always reach me on that email address if they have any questions after reading the book. And I promise that I will answer that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just they should try to mention that they read this from my book, so I know it is not a fake call, because a lot of hacking going on.
Yes. That is a big thing. So folks, make sure you mention that. But that is wonderful of you to be sharing, you know, all of this information with folks. I think for a lot of people, we have a lot of folks who write about health and wellness, but not someone who's been in the trenches, if you will, for as many years as you have. And that to me is very important to hear what you've found in all these years to be the most beneficial for your overall health and cardiovascular health.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Raj, for coming on and sharing all of your information. I am excited to put this podcast out so we can help folks prevent cardiovascular disease together. My goodness, it's such a big topic.
And I thank you and your listeners for giving me this opportunity to be here and discuss this. Thank you very, very much.
You're most welcome.
Hey, fellow health junkie, thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.